So, did you just want me to say dispatches from the underground? Dispatches from the underground.
Dispatches from the underground.
With your host,
Joey Steele. Up to no good. We're good?
Question authority.
Dispatches from the underground.
Question everything.
Dispatches from the underground!
All right, welcome to Dispatches from the Underground. I'm your host, Joey Steele. Thanks for getting down with us. We are coming at you from the underground in New York City. That's what we are. This is what we do. I'm glad you could join us down here. And as Trump gave his State of the Union, whatever, last week or whatever it was, I can't even keep track of that fuckhead. It's not my job to keep track of that fuckhead's job. But as he gave his State of the Union on this episode today, we're going to give the Dispatches State of the Union address. Sort of, not exactly, but we're gonna get into where we see things going, and that's, you know, that's basically what we try to do here at Dispatches. The goal of Dispatches is two fronts. One, we try to take the things that are going on in the mainstream, the things that we interact with on our daily life, the world that out there that's in, you know, on CNN and in Fox and in the White House and in our workplaces. We try to take that world and fucking look clearly at it and drag it down the underground, see if there's anything worthwhile in there, get some perspective on that bullshit. And on the flip side, we try to go at things that are in the underground and the wonderful, heart-filled, passionate things that we love. And we try to bring those to the forefront and hopefully have that take over the mainstream more. Those are the two things we try to do on a given Dispatches episode. Today's a little bit different, as this is our State of the Union address or whatever. So we're going to do things a little bit different. I am here with Dispatches collective member, Lauren. What's
Hi.
Up, Lauren? How's it going?
Good. How are you, Joey?
I am fantastic. Obviously, this is the State Union, so I want to be positive. We have nobody else in the studio to stand up and give us just ravenous applause.
But they would if they were here.
Yeah. You can imagine, like, in your head while we listen and while you hear us talk about shit, you can imagine applause.
I think you should.
You probably should. Yeah. Yeah. And I am wearing a yellow hairpiece and like a full fucking like $1,000 beautiful suit from Giovanni Versace. I don't know if I said that right.
I mean, close enough. You look great in your suit.
Thank you. I am also wearing bunny slippers just to like keep it on level. But
well, yeah, you got to be like the, you know, everyman's person.
For sure, dude. Yeah, that's my way to relate to the everyman. But anyway, this is our State of the Union address. And obviously, if you're listening to Dispatches, you're probably aware that the state is fucked. So this is a pretty somber episode. I'll give a disclaimer off the front. We're going to be talking about the State of the Union in the sense that we're going to be talking about patriarchy and misogyny on this episode. We're going to be talking about male dominance. We're going to be talking about Me Too and the impact and the ramifications and the repercussions and the backlash against the Me Too movement. And I feel like in the past year, it's one of the best things that has happened in our culture. And I think Trump is part of the reason this happened.
I mean, the fact that the person that is the president of the United States has had over 20 women accuse him of either rape and or sexual assault, and none of that's been investigated. It's kind of like, I feel like in some circles, kind of like an attaboy, like good for you, you know, put the women in their place with the whole like grab them by the pussy thing.
Oh my
like
God.
Some people actually literally celebrated that, like they. It's like it's a masculine, cool thing to do. And I feel like that's just like getting towards the root of the problem.
And about a year ago at Trump's inauguration, we had one of the largest demonstrations in the history of this country where we had a women's march on Washington with around a million people at it. I don't remember the exact numbers, but, you know, like Trump says, you know, facts, they're fake news, so it doesn't matter anyway. Let me just say there's probably 7 million people who marched at that march.
And I feel like Trump would think that this is fake news.
Oh, yeah, definitely, for sure.
Which
yeah.
I actually love. So
yeah,
I'm
we
okay
might
with that.
Be fake news. I don't know exactly, no. But, yeah, and I just feel like, you know, when you have such a vile person representing the seats of power, I feel like people have finally given up a little bit, expecting those powerful positions to bring them justice, and they've stepped forward more and more to grab that justice themselves. So we're going to be talking about what I think is one of the most powerful, influential, interesting, empowering movements to come into this country in decades, and that is the Me Too movement. We're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about especially with regard to media and like Hollywood, but also we're going to do it in other fronts as well.
And like everyday life, like it affects everyone. It's not just like the Harvey Weinsteins, the famous actresses. It's everyone. It's the person sitting right next to you right now. Well, we're talking about it, so it affects you.
Okay, but I'm in my suit, no. So I just really want to look good when we say this.
I am not accusing Joey Steele of sexual harassment. Yeah.
Maybe the suit actually brings it. Maybe the suit brings that out. Let's bring that up a bunch more times in the podcast. And so we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about coercion and sexual relations. And we're going to get uncomfortable with some of this stuff. So I just want to say off the front that I think that the union is fucked. I'm not interested in the perpetuation of that union. And I am interested in the perpetuation of consciousness and empowerment. And so for me, the best thing that's happened in this past year has been... one of the best things has been this Me Too movement. So that's what we're going to talk about. I know it's going to make some people uncomfortable. So, you know, if that's not the thing you want to hear about today, put the podcast off for later and, put us in your ear later, and then we could talk about it more. But,
and I mean, it is an uncomfortable subject, and, you know, we're going to do our best to kind of go through this like murky topic where, you know, we might not say the right things, and, you know, we appreciate your feedback. So, you know, send us messages, let us know, tell us if we fucked up or said something wrong.
I guarantee we're going to say the wrong things bunch of times because
mainly you.
Yeah, for sure. This suit is extremely uncomfortable.
I think the suit's what's doing it.
It
so
really does fuck with your
fuck
head.
Anything up, it's the suit's
yeah,
fault.
Let's not blame the dude. Let's blame the suit. Yeah, that's great. Oh, we start off on a great place. I feel really comfortable where the rest of this episode is going to go. Yeah, we're going to get weird. We're going to get uncomfortable. We're going to get into some weird places. But I do want to make sure we come back to at the end of the episode. Once we've sort of traveled through the wilderness that is or the things that are going on in relation to this Me Too stuff and sexual assault versus coercion and power dynamics and all the things we're going to get into, I do want to come back to this fucked up Hollywood backlash against it. And that's definitely where we're going to end. And I feel like that's one thing that the media hasn't been talking about. So I feel like that's the main thing that we want to get to by the end of the episode. So if you're not going to do anything else, at least fast forward to the end of the episode and listen to that, because I think that that's worth listening to. Before we continue, I do want to say some housekeeping stuff. I want to say, first of all, obviously, thank you, Lauren, for not only being on the episode with me and letting me wear this ridiculous suit, but also doing so much with Dispatches and holding it down and being part of the collective. I really appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Happy to do it. Thanks for having me.
And I want to say thank you to Real Punk Radio at realpunkradio.com for airing Dispatches every Wednesday night at 11 p.m. Check out all their great programming they have going on over at Real Punk Radio. We have a ton of stuff going on out here in New York. We are doing a short tour with Rats in the Wall, who we're going to play a little bit later in this episode. One of my favorite songs ever in the history of the world is Manufactured Desire by Rats in the Wall. And it is very much about... the themes that we're talking about today. So I super appreciate their music and that song and that band. So All Torn Up is going to be touring with Rats in the Wall mid-February 15th through the 20th here on the East Coast. Check that out. We also have some other ton of great shows going on here in New York City. Make sure you stay in touch. Check out Dispatch from the Underground on Facebook. Just search for Dispatches from the Underground. We're on there, and we will post all of those shows and that tour right away. So check that out. And yeah, let's get uncomfortable. Let's just jump right into the discomfort here.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
Get down. All right. Well, let's listen to Rats in the Wall at the beginning of this episode, because it is one of my favorite bands and is one of my favorite songs. Here we're going to listen to Manufactured Desire. They just put out a new record, which they're going to be touring with here on the East Coast. This is not off their new record. This is a little bit of an older tune. But again, I love this song and I love this band. And my band, All Torn Up, is going to be touring with Rats in the Wall this month. Well, in February, Thursday, February 15th, we're going to be in Philly at the Century. The 16th, we're going to be here in Brooklyn at El Cortez. It's an all-ages show. We made sure it was going to be an all-ages show because we wanted Rats to be able to bring an all-ages crowd. So, you know, everyone can come to this show, and it's not easily said here in Brooklyn. Saturday, the 17th, we're in Baltimore at the Sidebar. Sunday, the 18th, we're in Asbury Park at Asbury Park Brewery. And then Monday the 19th, which I think is a holiday. I can't keep all this bullshit straight. But Rats is going to be in Boston at O'Brien's Pub. But my new band, Cop Out, is actually going to be on that show. All Torn Up is not going to be on that show. And then also, Rats is going to be doing another show, 21 and Plus show, on Tuesday the 20th here in Brooklyn again. But it's going to be a very different lineup. So All Torn Up is not going to be on it, and Cop Out is. But anyway, it's going to be a great tour. Rats hasn't done an East Coast tour in years, so I'm super excited to be doing these shows with them. And again, absolutely one of my favorite bands in the world, and stoked to be playing a bunch of shows with them. So here's Manufactured Desire by Rats in the Wall from Orange County, California. Get down. Say before we get into this discussion, before we get neck deep into this discussion, that there are some trigger warnings on this. We are going to be talking about sexual assault. We are going to be talking about things that make people a little bit uncomfortable. And I know some people out there have had personal experience on this front, and this might make them a little uncomfortable to hear us talking about it. So I want to say that before we get neck deep into this discussion, this might not be the episode that you want to start with if some of these issues might be a little bit sensitive for you to talk about or to hear someone talking about. So in that being said, if there is something said on this show that you think we approach from the wrong perspective, I'd love to hear about that. So please just message us on Facebook, or you can hit us up at dftunderground@gmail.com. Obviously, we're just two people talking about having a conversation about this, because we think more people should be talking about Me Too, and more people should be talking about sexual harassment from a lot of different perspectives. But obviously, we're just coming at this from our perspectives, and we don't encompass the full rainbow of where everyone's coming at this from. So that being said, those disclaimers being said, we're gonna get neck deep into this, and we're gonna talk a little bit about Me Too today. We're gonna talk about the changing atmosphere in our culture and the worldwide culture about misogyny and patriarchy, and specifically with regard to sexual harassment, sexual coercion, sexual power dynamics within the workplace and outside of the workplace, and the fact that this is a different world. We live in a different world in 2018 than we lived in 3 years ago, because all of a sudden it is not embarrassing for women to bring up this question, this issue that they've been sexually harassed, sexually assaulted, sexually coerced, they've been raped. In the past, women have been so victimized and re-victimized and re-victimized and re-victimized when they talk about this subject, and we live in a different world. Like, finally, the doors and windows are all open, and the house is getting aired out, and it just smells like shit, and people are upset about that, or for whatever reason, but I think it's refreshing for people to be able to share these stories, and we're going to talk about this specifically within the realm of media, because there's been a lot of news lately about this backlash against Me Too, and in January, Catherine Deneuve, who is a French actress, and a relatively irrelevant French actress, she wrote a letter, an open letter to CNN. She's gotten criticized for it since then. And one of the things she was talking about in that letter was that she felt that sexual violations, like people who are violating people sexually, aren't the same thing as intense flirtation. That was, I believe those are her words. So we're really going to be focused in on the media and the backlash against that. But I talked, this is the world that we're trying to crush, Lauren, is a dude talking for the dude talking for 3 minutes, his bullshit. I know, and Lauren is here with me talking about this. This is not just in the media, but this is where it's been mainly at, right?
So Twitter was where the hashtag originated from, and it was just amazing to see how many people actually really embraced it. I did too. I definitely hashtagged the Me Too. I actually don't know a single woman that hasn't.
Mm. Yeah. And it's just crazy to think about that, because obviously it's just so pervasive. And the fact that there has to be something in our culture that encourages a story that every woman in our lives has had to interact with. And it's been so, saturated so much of their life. It's just crazy that there had to be this movement. It's just crazy. That's the crazy part to me.
I mean, I feel like women will talk amongst themselves about it. But the fact that, like, so many males were shocked that it was so pervasive, just, like, to me, it's like willful ignorance at that point. Because you can't really hide from it. Or, you know, it's just such a normalcy for people to behave in such a way in our culture.
I mean, to me, it wasn't even just that it wasn't like a shocking thing, because, you know, I've been working on these questions personally and interpersonally for a long time, politically for a long time, so I wasn't surprised by it. But I do think there's, and I'm not sure so many people, I mean, obviously men who perpetuate it aren't surprised, because they do it. And
but I feel like a lot of them do it and they don't even realize that it's completely wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, if you look at any movie at this point, so if a female says no or she's shy, it just means you need to try harder. Mm. It doesn't mean she actually really doesn't like you. It just means you really need to encourage it. Like, that's just what's almost been taught to males. I mean, do you agree?
Oh, I totally agree. And I think it's either they're being willfully ignorant, like you said, like they're participating and they're being willfully ignorant. Or, I mean, I think that there, I've been a little bit shocked by the direction that the conversation has gone. You know, I think I had no idea about some of the stuff, like the Louis C.K. stuff. Louis C.K. was, I don't know, I wouldn't want to say exposed, because that's fucked up, because he did expose himself, but maybe not so funny, whatever. Jerking off, like dudes pulling their penises out in front of women, that never occurred to me. Like, I had never thought about that before.
It's a power move. It's not even a sexual thing, because, like, I mean, here in New York City, there's people that will just, like, openly masturbate on the subway. I luckily have not encountered it, but I know people that have.
That's wild. But a creep on the subway doing it is one thing. But a man doing it in a position of power and then doing it to a woman who can't do anything about it is clearly a power play. And I, as an activist and someone who's supposedly conscious, didn't fully understand that. And Christine, when this happened,
my partner Christine, in case anybody doesn't know,
sorry, she told me about this, and she explained it to me in the same way that, you know, it's this power dynamic. It's like rape, and I was like, oh, you know, it's, I get it. And it is the same sensation.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, honestly, like, most rape isn't a sexual thing. It's a power thing. It's a power move to show dominance over somebody else. It's not like, sexy.
And that's the whole point, I feel like, where Me Too is gone, is understanding this dynamic. Because I think a lot of people understand that there has been sexual assault in our society, although not to the level that we are now, like people are being understanding of it now.
Yeah.
But it's the power dynamic. It's the fact that patriarchy and misogyny are woven into these actions. It's the dominance that goes in, that's involved in all this. I just think so many bros out there just think it's like, oh, dude, just trying to fucking dream my rocks off, dude. It's like no big deal. Like, you know, just yeah, dig it.
Just at the cost of somebody else.
Yeah. And it's the power dynamic. And that's the thing that the Hollywood is not getting. That's the thing that's not being talked about in the media either, is that there's this power dynamic. And that's being, I feel like, completely ignored. People are in the mainstream media, and I think a lot of people in our own like circles, in our familial circles, they think this is about rape and they think this is about sexual assault. And it is.
I mean, yeah, that's definitely part of it, but that's not the root of the problem. Like the that is the symptom, not the root.
And the root, getting down to the root of all of this, is that we live in a culture where men are allowed to and expected to be dominant, and women are supposed to be submissive.
I mean, if you think about it too, like and even from such a young age, the compliment that all little girls get is "you're pretty, you're beautiful." You don't get like, "oh, you're so smart." You always want to be called pretty. Mm. And so it already throws the power dynamic off at such a young age. And we're taught this way. And then, like I was saying before, men are taught, or like boys are even taught, that they just need to, you know, convince women what they want.
Exactly. Or and I feel like this conversation is also getting at the roles on both sides of like, you know, the expected roles in a relationship are supposed to be so they're really domination roles. They're domination submission roles.
Well, yeah, I mean, in like, you know, like, so in like Catholic marriage, like agreeing to obey your husband, that's yeah. still something that's said.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people also, they don't know how to like relate to people in bars and in relationships outside of the realm that they've been trained to, which is the submissive and domineering roles. And so I think that there is like a little bit of each side of it. They're like attracted to those roles.
Well, because that's what they're taught to be attracted to.
But they're breaking down.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Which I fucking love.
And this is what Hollywood isn't getting, and this is what the mainstream media isn't getting, is that our generation isn't living by those roles. We don't live by those roles. We're not trying to live by. Maybe we're caught up in them sometimes, but we're trying not to live by those roles. I mean, I feel like for the conscious people out there, dudes, I don't know. I'm not sure about that too much.
I mean, hopefully more and more people are just like trying not to live by those roles, and I think it's awesome, and I think it's also terrifying for the people that are in older generations, because they don't know what to do with it. Like, this was their set of rules to live by, and now if you throw those out the window, what the fuck do you do?
I mean, that's part of the backlash we see. I mean, it's you know, like Harvey Weinstein, Louis C.K., these are supposed to be progressive Democrats, you know? Like, these are
Weinstein a Democrat?
Yeah, Weinstein was like a down to fucking way down deep Hillary supporter. Yeah, I mean,
sorry, I just made a face at Joe. You guys can't see
but,
that.
You know, we're not talking about socialists here, but still, I mean, the fucking head of NPR was thrown out of his office because of this. We're not talking about just the lecherous gaze of Trump, which obviously is fucked. We're not talking about like inbred hillbillies in the fucking sticks. We're talking about like people who are supposedly people of liberals or whatever.
I mean, I think that like brings us to both the things against like Aziz Ansari and also
The other guy. It's hard to remember.
James Franco.
James Franco. I didn't even know he was accused.
Yeah, James Franco was accused. They're both accused, not really quite sexual assault, but sexual coercion. And it got brought up more so because both of them were seen wearing the Time's Up pins at different events. So that is what actually like made these women want to come forward and be like, you know, this hashtag, this movement isn't like an accessory for you. You can say one thing, but it's the way you behave behind closed doors that really matters.
I mean, I think everybody in their life knows people who are guilty of this. And not just people who we hate, but people who are close to us
yeah.
who are guilty of this. People who we don't think are bad people, but they do bad things. Just because they're not bad people doesn't mean they're not capable of doing bad things.
I mean, everybody's capable of doing a bad thing.
And I feel like when you talk about James Franco, you talk about Aziz Ansari, who both of those people I don't necessarily think are good people, but Louis C.K. at least had, like, you know, white liberal things that seemed moderately progressive. Harvey Weinstein's put out, like, movies that I think were made for conscious people, you know, but obviously they're doing horrible things, and they're perpetuating one of the worst dynamics, one of the most deep down dynamics in our society that needs to be stopped.
But I mean, I still think it's important to bring up the fact that, so the Weinstein and the Louis C.K. thing, those were obvious, like, transgressions, like fucking attempted rape, like masturbating in somebody in front of somebody that didn't mm-hmm. want to even be around that, like locking your door and keeping her in there. I feel like the more important thing to talk about is where it, like, lines get a little bit blurred, you know.
Where are the lines blurred?
Yeah. Well, I mean, so with, like, the sexual coercion thing, is that assault? It could be. Of course it could be. And it's just kind of like it's retraining people to realize, like, you need to be okay. Like, if you're going to have sex with somebody, just ask if something is okay. If you're not able to do that, then you shouldn't be having sex.
When you say sexual coercion, break down what you're saying sexual coercion is. I know what you mean when you say that, but I feel like some people are getting sort of new to this topic and they're not sure what the word coercion means.
So I guess, and I could definitely be wrong, but the way that I'm understanding sexual coercion is not understanding the word no, kind of continuously not raping somebody, but forcing yourself upon them. You know, if, you know, I say no three times and you're still trying to put your hands down my pants, sort of thing.
Not me.
Well, no, yes, obviously.
Yeah, just to be clear on that side, this radio.
Not, yeah. Okay. Sorry. Yes. Not
some person.
This is more of just a, you
know, other Joey.
Yeah.
Yeah, got it. We'll cut that out.
Really
don't
getting
worry.
Away from me.
Yeah. But yeah, coercion is the use of force to make something happen. So it's you know, intimidation. It could be a form of coercion.
Well, even intimidation
could be physical,
or, you know,
coerce,
like,
or it could
of,
be.
Sorry.
No, go ahead, please.
I don't even know if, like, intimidation doesn't even need to be outright. Just like, you know, if somebody is with, like, somebody famous, it's kind of like, well, I don't want to piss them off because, like, maybe I'm trying to be, you know, an actress or something, and then all of a sudden they, like, blacklist me from, you know, getting anywhere. Like, the just afraid to say no and the other person knowing that they have that power.
That's where I feel like the conversation needs to go, because that's what Hollywood's not getting. That's what Louis C.K. is not understanding, is these people aren't, people who he's doing this to aren't in a position to say no. Because the power dynamic is so unequal in the first place that they can't say no to them.
Yeah, I believe the Louis C.K. one, it was like two up-and-coming, like, female comedians that it happened to that were, like, I think they were, like, 23 or something at the time, like, just trying to break into the business. They're not going to piss off Louis C.K. Like, that's just a career-ending move at that point.
And I feel like a lot of Hollywood, here are people who aren't trained in how to relate to people. They aren't activists. They aren't feminists. They aren't confronting, you know, society's fucked up mores. And they might want to be, they might not want to be, but they're just perpetuating them blindly. They're unconscious about their actions.
Well, and, because they benefit from them. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be conscious.
For sure.
Them.
Like, oh, there you go.
Like, that's the main thing. Like, if you don't, like, if you win in every scenario, you're not going to want to not win.
That's a really good point. They're getting privilege and power from those dynamics, so why would they want to confront them? They've never even thought about confronting them.
Yeah, I mean, they've got no reason to, really.
Well, I think they do, because I think they probably would, if they were shown and if they were made to understand that actually they can get a lot more out of interacting with human beings who they value and honor and see substance in, instead of people to dominate. I think they would get something out of that. But it's a lot easier to just be like, yeah, I mean, I'm better than them. That feels better.
I mean, I also don't want to say all of them, because Louis C.K. honestly, shockingly, did own up to it right away. Hmm. He said, I did this. It was wrong of me. Yeah.
Does that make it better?
I mean, nothing's going to fix it. I mean, these women are still traumatized. But I guess there's an awareness of it. And with like Aziz, like they released the text messages between the victim and him the next day. And I guess that was like the best response you could have. He just responded like, I must have misread the signals. I'm sorry, you know, and I can't remember everything, obviously, verbatim, but the acknowledgement that it happened, hopefully that will prevent it from happening in the future. But I mean, again, I don't know.
I'm not in a position to even say whether it makes it better when they apologize. So I don't really care about any of that.
Well, I don't think the apology is the important part. I think it's the awareness. And as long as they're actually aware versus just saying they're aware, because that's the only thing you can do to change. Like, you need to recognize something that you did was fucked up in order to change it.
It's so easy for them to say they're aware of it now, you know, and it just doesn't seem fair to me for them to be able to go back to their lives or to go back to making their culture. And none of them seem to be doing that. Most of them seem to be taking a break. They're going to go to their camps or whatever and be retrained. But I just feel like there's so much more depth that's necessary to go into about those power dynamics, because it's not just in the media. Although primarily in the media, you see people like Liam Neeson who are saying there's a witch hunt going on. It's just there's too much.
That was a big eye roll. I just gave
too many accusations, you know. And Catherine Deneuve's response and the media has said, has Me Too gone too far, which we're going to get into more in the second.
And honestly,
section.
What I say to that. Fuck you. Because, like, you know what? If you really think that's the case, you're not listening.
And I don't think we're going to have any change because of it. You know, I don't think we're going to see a whole lot of change because, you know, there's going to be, it's with all these political movements, you see conscious activists pushing, the conscious public pushing people in power to make changes, and the people in power making changes only so much as they are, you know, able to get away with changing and then slipping back into that. But I feel like we're in a new place, and while other people call for that backwards gaze, like, this isn't going to stop. There's a whole myriad of other people to step into the media to make other media happen that is conscious. So I don't think we're going to see these guys go back to make culture.
But I mean, let's make sure they can't.
Let's take a break for a second. Let's listen to a tune, and then we're going to talk about whether Me Too has gone too far. All right, let's take a break for a second. Let's listen to a tune to lighten up this conversation a little bit, because this is pretty heavy stuff we're talking about. So let's listen to a tune. Lauren, why don't you tell us what to listen to here?
So one of my all-time favorite punk bands is X. They're like the, you know, one of the original punk bands ever. And they have an amazing song called Johnny Hit and Run Pauline. It's on topic, but still fun.
Sweet. So this is the band X.
Yes.
Johnny Hit and Run Pauline.
Mm-hmm.
Get down.
Sterilized hypo to shoot a sex machine drug. It got 24 hours. Shoot off all his bedridden legs. 96 tears through 24 hours. Sex once every hour. We'll be right back.
going to get to whether or not Me Too has gone too far and this question of there being backlash against Me Too in a second. But I want to talk about oblivious men for a second, because we were talking about this a little bit in the last segment. And I think it's worth getting a little bit deeper into, because I feel like a lot of men are very oblivious to this situation on two fronts. I consider myself a pretty conscious guy. I try to be, you know, aware of these situations and power dynamics, and my whole adult life I've tried to be very conscious of this. And this still did, and although I understood Me Too and wasn't surprised by women's reactions, you know, the Louis C.K. thing really threw me off, because I didn't know that kind of stuff was going on, and I didn't know how power dynamics were going in other avenues. And I wasn't thinking about sexual coercion and being, you know, the same thing as sexual assault. And I think Catherine Deneuve is also saying, oh, well, that's because it's gone too far or whatever. But even me, as a conscious dude, as someone who's trying to be conscious, wasn't really thinking about things in those terms. And so I feel like a lot of dudes are walking around thinking like, sexual assault is wrong, and like, you know, using GHB or like the day rape drug is wrong. But they're not thinking, oh, well, maybe if she gets a little drunk or she's more into me. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a problem, dude. You know, and that's where things need to go, is dudes understanding that. But even beyond that, even if people are completely not inebriated, even if they are fully conscious and aware, just the simple power dynamics of which you approach someone, or in your own relationship, and you're pressuring someone without even knowing you're pressuring, unintentionally pressuring someone into having sex with you, is still fucked up. And that's the realm that I hadn't been completely conscious of and aware of.
And I feel like a lot of people aren't, and that's where it gets tough. Like, again, like I was saying, the easy thing to say is like, rape is wrong. Anybody with half a conscience knows that.
Yeah.
But the tough part is talking about the little things that, you know, show a power dynamic, you know, and pressuring people into things they're not comfortable with. And it's just something that you just need to start talking to the person you're engaging with about, is this okay? It's a simple question.
And I feel like this translates also into our own personal relationships, not just with the people we're sleeping with, but also with the people we interact with, and just talking to them and just actually speaking to them about, not asking them about their sexual relations, but about their power dynamics.
Weird.
Yeah, that would be super weird. But like, you know, are they comfortable? Do they feel like their voices are being listened to? Do they feel like there are situations that they're being pressured to performing on the job that they can't say no to because they're being pressured? Just checking into those power dynamics. But also, obviously, in your personal relationships with men or women or whatever you're into, like checking in and realizing that this is happening. Maybe it ruins a sexual moment.
I mean, I disagree completely. It doesn't have to be, let's stop what we're doing, talk for, you know, 5-10 minutes about it. It's literally just saying, is this okay, and actually meaning the question.
Well,
and being okay with whatever that response is, because, you know, sometimes it's going to be no.
But if Louis C.K. had said that to the actress who he sexually assaulted by performing in front of her, she's gonna say yeah. She's going to say, yes, this is okay. She's not, you know, so like, that's, to me, that's not enough. To me, this is why.
Well, but that's a totally different thing. That wasn't two people engaging in an act. That was literally a guy taking out his dick and masturbating in front of a girl he had power over. Well, that's a whole other issue.
But didn't he say, maybe I'm misconstruing his situation, but didn't he say he asked them if it was okay? Like I think he did actually say, like, he asked them. I don't think that's enough. I think. When you're in those moments, you actually, to me, and look, this is a controversial thing I'm going to say here.
Everything we're saying is pretty controversial.
I'm going to take another step, because I know a lot of people listening to this are leftists, and I'm going to say something even more controversial. I think that there are some problems, and this is, again, extremely controversial, because I'm a white cis dude saying this on top of all this. So
I'll
I know,
call you out if it's super fucked
I know,
up.
I know that this is controversial. I'm not expecting everyone to live up to to what I think is the right thing. But I do think that's important for people to participate in monogamous relationships on the front that they are checking in with their partners and going through like issues of validation and issues of power dynamics with their partners when they have sex with someone. Because sex is this taboo thing in our society that we're not allowed to talk about in public. We're not allowed to talk about with our friends. We're not encouraged to speak about
this
openly.
It's so interesting that it's so taboo, but it's so prevalent. You know what I mean? Like, it's taboo to talk about sex when it comes to, like, real situations, but it's, like, encouraged when it comes to, like, selling a product, being in a movie, everything else. So it's just, like, there's so different sides of the spectrum. And, I mean, I guess, I think I kind of misspoke before where I said that you just had to check in and ask if it's okay. Because while most people think that there's, like, a response that it's, like, fight or flight, there's also freeze, where you're just... you don't know what to do. And that is a real human response to a situation, which I think a lot of these women were in. They just didn't know what the right thing to do was. Like, it wasn't, like, violent enough for them to, like, you know, hit the person and run out, but it also wasn't comfortable.
Yeah. I don't think you misspoke in saying, I mean, it's a basic standard that everyone should be checking in. And that's what we always use in college. And that's what we always were taught to do and made sure everyone, it's important that they do that.
A lot of people aren't taught that, though.
No, for sure. Like, so I don't think it's misspoke. People should check in even in those moments.
I mean,
sure.
I guess that's where you start.
I think that's a good baseline for everyone to be doing. But I think for conscious people, we should be encouraging a conversation that goes a little deeper than that. And I think it's important that when you're with someone sexually, that you are able to go through the power dynamics you're talking about. I do that by trying to practice monogamy in my life, and I'm married now, so it's a lot easier. But I've always upheld this, and it's been controversial in a scene that's often held up polyamory. And so I get that I'm not on the fucking radical edge of this question, but I do think the principal question in all sexual relations is the oppression of women. That's where all of our sexual relations need to talk about is how our sexual relations are perpetuating the oppression of women.
Yeah,
because that's a prevalent thing in our culture.
I agree. And, you know, I'm not going to, you know, discuss my sexual life or anything else, but I don't know if monogamy is the best thing for everybody.
Yeah, I don't think,
because, like,
is.
I feel like you're, like, super pushing this monogamy thing. So I just would like a disclaimer that I don't specifically agree. And I feel like people that I do interact with that are in polyamorous relationships actually speak more with their partners about
that's
what's
true.
Going on, and they have more open and honest discussions. And that's just how it is. So I don't know if monogamy is the right answer. I just think the biggest thing that can solve so much of this is just open and honest communication.
No, I definitely don't think monogamy is a solution to these problems, because monogamy is rooted in church and family relations, which I don't have anything to do with. But I've felt like this has been a difficult question in my life to deal with. And so I've dealt with it by turning to monogamy in order to at least simplify the equation.
No, and I think there's nothing wrong with monogamy if, you know, that's your choice.
I definitely
don't think it's
a solution.
Answer.
Yeah, it's not the answer. But definitely being conscious about it is the answer. Definitely talking about it is the answer. And I don't think there's an easy way to do that in the heat of the moment. So it's important when you are engaged in those activities and sexual activities. To me, I feel like if we're holding ourselves up to be conscious, if we're trying to battle the oppression of women, to destroy it, I think it's important to be conscious about the power dynamics. And the only way to do that is to talk about it, and not while you're ready to do it, because...
Yeah, because, again, it goes back to, like, the kind of, like, freeze thing where, you know, you just don't know what to do. You don't want to upset the person you're with. I mean, full disclosure, I've been there where you're not sure what to do in that moment. And you're like, okay, I'll just get this over with, because you're just uncomfortable. And that's what happens. And it's a reality for, I would say, many of the women out there.
I think probably all, but, you know, what would I know? Let's talk about this question of whether Me Too has gone too far. Because I heard this on NPR the other day. They were debating and discussing this question of, has Me Too gone too far? And I just I literally stopped my car. I texted you that moment. I freaked out. I texted you, and I'm like, I cannot believe that this is being discussed. The idea, the concept that Me Too has gone too far. Here's what Me Too. We can talk about Me Too,
especially on NPR too, because, like, everybody sees NPR as, like, you know, pretty liberal. I mean, I could see it, like, on, like, Breitbart or something.
Yeah, I wasn't reading Breitbart, Lauren. Thank you very much. I was listening to NPR. But listen, I will engage the question whether or not Me Too has gone too far when women are openly sexually harassing men, openly sexually assaulting men, constantly. In our society for hundreds and hundreds of years. When that's happened, we can finally then discuss whether or not Me Too has gone too far. But until that moment, hundreds and hundreds of years from now, There's no fucking way that Me Too could possibly go too far.
The entire concept of it has me, like, shaking with rage right now. Because, you know what? The people that think it went too far are the ones that have had their heads buried in the sand the entire time. And you know what? Nobody is saying something that just, you know, they're finally speaking out about what's actually happened. None of this is made up. None of it's lies. Like, it's just, it's. Let us speak about our experiences. And you know what? Yeah, it's fucked up, but we're living with it. So you know what? You need to fucking live with it too.
Yeah, I couldn't understand it. And I understand that they are like trying to cover all of the points of the news, but I just don't give a fuck. And that's not the goal of this podcast. It's not fair and unbalanced news. I mean, I think that the idea of balanced and fair news is also ridiculous. You come from perspective. Be honest about your perspective. Share it. Get into it. And that's it. That's all you can do. Because I think, in entertaining the idea without saying that it's an absolutely absurd notion that Me Too could possibly go too far in our lifetimes is really horrifying.
This
really
is a movement that hasn't even been going on for a year. Yeah, and the fact that some, I'm assuming, middle-aged white males were talking about it, saying being too far, like, no. Fuck you.
just to get that off of our chest, for sure, fuck you, you fucking crackers.
So for me, the biggest thing with Me Too, not only are women's experiences being validated, they're being heard, but the biggest thing to me is that everybody's now actually talking about it. Whether you want to or not, whether you agree or disagree, you're talking about it, and that's the most important part to me.
I think that's all that needs to be said. The fact that it's being exposed. And hopefully through all this, women are being empowered.
Agreed.
And if we end up killing some men or castrating some of them.
That's okay.
No. We're not going to lose any sleep over that. Get down. All right. Let's listen to another tune. This is one of my favorite tunes. And I, again, think it's on topic, but still really fun. I don't really know if it's on topic or not. This is a band from California. I think they're from, Orange County again, too. That's uncomfortable that the two of the bands I picked are from Orange County.
Mine's from California, too.
Oh, my God. New York not doing well on this question. This is a band from California. They're called The Interrupters. You've probably heard of them. They've done a bunch of big tours lately, and they're putting out incredible music. And I love this song. I remember my band, The Attitude Adjusters, Joey C. and The Attitude Adjusters, played with them a couple of years ago, and I think at the Highline. And I had not heard of them before we played with them. And I heard this song, and I was like, whoa, this is fucking amazing. This song blew me away. Every time I hear it, I get chills when I listen to this song. So here's She Got Arrested by The Interrupters. Get down.
She got arrested for shooting down her man. U.S. Marshals caught her outside of Spokane. She said, I'd do it again, do it again, do it again, yeah, I'd do it again, I'd do it again, do it again, do it again, yeah, I'd do it again. She met like a year ago last Christmas. He drove a truck in town on business. She fell in love, or so she thought, 'cause Maryland was cold and Nevada was hot. So she moved alone to the city of sin, then got a place with him, put her chips all in. Yeah, got dark, he was a stranger, put his hands on her in anger, and she got arrested for shooting down her man. U.S. Marshals caught her outside of Spokane. She said, I'd do it again, do it again, do it again, do it again, I'd do it again, do it again, do it again, I'd do it again. They brought her down to the police station in an 8-foot room for interrogation. Her fingerprints on the murder weapon. All they needed was a tape confession, and she was bloody, beat the air. Said her meaning was cold, but she cried no tears. This time it was his blood on her. She wore it like a badge of honor, and she got arrested. Shooting down her man. U.S. Marshals caught her outside of Spokane. She said, I'd do it again, do it again, do it again, yeah, I'd do it again, I'd do it again, do it again, do it again, yeah, I'd do it again. Huh.
drove 1,000 miles in a cell for a year on trial. No regrets for the things she done. He lost the fight, she won it. Told the story, jury heard it, deliberating for a verdict. She's up for murder in the first degree, cause she refused the bleeding sanity. And she got arrested for shooting down her man. U.S. Marshals caught her outside of Spokane. She said, I do it again, do it again, do it again. God, I do it again, I do it again, do it again, do it again. God, I do it again.
All right, that's the end of the episode. I hope you all dug it. I hope that there was a chance for you to get some different perspectives in there and think about changing the way you're looking at things. That's the whole point of this podcast, is to go at things from that front. So I hope that there was some stuff in there for you to get down with. Thank you, Lauren, so much for coming on the show and doing so much with Dispatches and the Collective. I appreciate that.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad your suit didn't get in the way too much.
No, I still feel like it was not a good idea for me to wear it.
Too much.
Yeah. Definitely fucked me a little bit. But thank you all for getting down with us, everybody out there who listens to Dispatches every single week. As usual, we will have a new podcast up in 2 weeks, and every 2 weeks or around there. And it will always be free, but there is a donation button on the page. So please, if you are in a position to be donating to this podcast and want people to continue to be listening to it, please make a donation on dispatchfromtheunderground.com. If you are not in that position, totally understand. That's why the podcast is free. But please go on iTunes, leave a little comment, leave a rating, let people know you listen to it, share it on social media, and let people know that you're listening. That's the only way anyone else is going to find out about Dispatches, and if you think that they should, please continue to share it that way. We'll have another episode in 2 weeks. Hopefully by then, all misogyny will be ended.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, and then we can like move on to other topics, you know?
Maybe some more like upbeat ones.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure everything will be sorted out by next week, and we'll just be talking about punk music. But if not, we'll probably have some Debbie Downer stuff and some Negative Nancy things in there. We'll see next time. Until then, I hope you all keep digging it. Get down. All right, we're going to end this episode playing a song representing New York City. There's a ton of women in this city who are making incredible music, and this is two of those women in a band called Sister Munch. It's a four-person band, two incredible women in this band making wonderful, wonderful music. I love seeing them live. They're absolutely fantastic, and the recordings are super great, too. We're going to listen to a tune here, but I don't think that I really should say the name of this song, although it's an amazing song. I don't think it's really for me to say, so... Lauren is going to intro this song for us right now.
Right,
this is Sister Munch.
We're going to listen to Cunt Rap Supreme by Sister Munch.
Yeah. What was the name of that song again?
Cunt Rap Supreme.
Yeah, this is off their album Zen as Fuck. You can check out Sister Munch by going to their Bandcamp, Sister Munch. That's munch.bandcamp.com. Check them out. They're always touring. They're making a lot of music. So here is
Cunt Rap Supreme
by Sister Munch. Get down.
When she walked by.